The New England Patriots have become a dynasty, though it didn't begin that way. Love 'em, hate 'em, the Pats have captured this country's attention like no other franchise. From two award-winning authors, Glenn Stout and Richard Johnson, comes the new book, The Pats, an illustrated history of the New England Patriots. It is a huge coffee table book filled with pictures and stories, and really the first book to tell the complete story of a legendary team and its five trophies. Richard Johnson is the author of The New England Patriots Yesterday and Today. He is the curator of the Sports Museum of New England, and he joins us this morning to talk about the new book, The Pats. Richard Johnson, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Nice to have you on the program. So I'll start off by saying I am a Patriots fan. I love this team, so I love this book. I know just by saying that half of our audience has already turned off the radio. What is it? Before we get into the book, let's just talk a little bit about the team. What is it about the Patriots that people tend to have such a love-hate relationship with?
Well, I mean, the recent history has been the hatred part. So, okay, a team that was once the doormat of the American Football League. I mean, as humble a team as you could imagine, soared to heights unimaginable for those of us that have been following the team since the AFL days. Over the past 18 years or so, well, actually, I'd put it more like 25 years, because you have to really go to Bill Parcells' arrival to mark the big change in the history of the team. That and the Kraft ownership have been the two beacons of success and lit the way forward. But, you know, so success always breeds contempt. We invite their contempt, I guess. I mean, good. I mean, finally, it took a while for this team to become great, but great they are, and improbably great they continue with a 41-year-old quarterback who seems to be defying logic.
So when you look at the success in five championships, and I guess other teams look at this and say, well, I mean, everybody would want their team to have five championships, I assume.
Of course.
Yeah. And when you see it, there's no other way of saying it. I mean, this does seem indisputable that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, or is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, when you get to the top two or three, and top two or three would be Johnny Unitas, and I would put a vote in for the great Otto Graham, who folks tend to forget because a lot of those Browns teams played in a different league than the NFL, but they were a dynasty too. I mean, doing it in this day and age where the players are bigger and where the defensive players are bigger and faster and hit harder, I would say Brady gets the nod. And, you know, of course, the way it happened with a sixth-round draft pick becoming, you know, the GOAT, as they call him, it's pretty remarkable.
Of course, the recent history we'll get into toward the end, but really the fascinating part of this book, I thought, and just filled with all the stuff that I didn't know, was about the early history of the team. And it just seems that it was a lot of heartache, a lot of difficulty, as you said, doormat, and yet it still seems to have kind of the same rumpled exterior, perhaps, than it even has now.
Yeah, well, the fact is that we had five pro football teams in Boston dating back to the Bulldogs in 1929, our first NFL team, you know, that had tried and failed to sink their roots into the rocky soil of New England. And in fact, it's interesting to note that the last NFL championship team from New England prior to the Patriots were the Providence Steamrollers. So not only did the Patriots have to reverse a historic trend here that, you know, this was not a pro football area, you know, so before you could even be a success, you had to exist. And for the Patriots even to exist was pretty remarkable, because in their first 10 years, they played in 7 stadiums for home games in 3 states. Now, one of those was a technicality with having to move a game during the 1967 World Series from Fenway Park to San Diego, and another was a one-off game against the New York Jets in Birmingham, Alabama, you know, giving up a home game because of the increased attendance for everyone down there to see their favorite Joe Namath with the opposing Jets. But still, they were nomads. They were really basically had their hat in their hand for their first 10 years and finally got the go-ahead to move to Foxborough, of all places. I remember when that story came through years ago, it was sort of you were looking at a map to see where Foxborough even was. So, you know, they've really, they are the Horatio Alger story of the National Football League. They came from as humble a background as you can to become as great a success as you can imagine as well.
When you look at the telling of this team, is that an easy story to tell in a narrative sense? And because there was a lot going on in those early years.
There was a lot going on in those early years, and I think that's one of the parts of the book that even tried and true Patriots fans now are going to really enjoy, because, you know, in order to savor the success they've had in the past 18 years, it really helps to know about where they came from. And the fact is that they had some good teams early on, good, not great. They played in the 1963 AFL Championship game against the Chargers in a game that had echoes of Spygate, because according to reports, the Chargers kept an eye on them during their practices on the West Coast. Of course, Patriots coach Mike Holovac gave away most of the game plan in stories printed in the Boston papers. Now, whether he thought people would not be reading the Boston papers in San Diego, I'm not sure. But the fact is, my co-author Glenn Stout did the research on this, and just, you know, it was very plain and simple that if the San Diego coaching staff read the Boston papers back then, they sort of knew what they were up against, and that didn't help the Patriots one bit, because, of course, they were clobbered in that game. But, you know, the fact is that they had a brief period of success. They had great players in those early years. Jim Nance was the prototypical fullback of his time. Great, great player, was an AFL MVP at one point. Gino Cappelletti, Mr. Patriot, wide receiver and place kicker. As he likes to joke now, he said, "I should have been paid twice." And, of course, I say he's probably one of the 2 or 3 best players not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. How the all-time leading scorer in American Football League history is not enshrined in Canton is beyond me.
And, God, I miss him in the broadcast booth.
Yes.
Yeah.
He and Gil, I mean, those wonderful
Gil Sanders,
sort of gentle voices, but also sort of, you know, just eternally great. I mean, I would compare Gino to Phil Rizzuto, you know, that you have a guy who was a beloved player going into the broadcast booth and being as nice a guy and as good a goodwill ambassador as the game has ever had. So for all those reasons, Canton has got to wake up and enshrine him. It is a crime that he is not in the Hall of Fame.
Obviously, Tom Brady will be in the Hall of Fame. And so let's just talk before I ask you a diagnostic question about the book. But Brady, Belichick, Kraft, that is quite a troika.
Boy, it's sort of the holy trinity of Patriots football, isn't it? And, you know, it is still, I still am really amazed at what's transpired, because it's so hard to do this in football. You know, it really is, because you have so many more moving parts, but they've managed to pull it off. And it's incredible to think you have a 41-year-old quarterback who, has he slowed down maybe half a step? Possibly. But, you know, is still the guy, and they continue to do it when you think that, you know, that snow game, the playoff game against the Raiders, was the last game at Foxborough Stadium. And that will be coming up on, what, 18-year anniversary of that? It just, wow.
Wow.
I mean, really?
Wow, indeed.
I mean, because you know what? Sports years, especially NFL years, are dog years in a way. That, you know, 2 or 3 years means everything. And with these guys, you extend that to 5 or 6 or 7 years is sort of the equivalent of what they've done. It's unprecedented.
So at the last part of the book is called Dynasty End? So what do you think? Does the dynasty end with the retirement of Tom Brady, with the retirement or movement of Bill Belichick or even Bob Kraft, who I assume would eventually give the team to his son?
Oh yeah, and the inheritance laws now certainly make that a lot easier. I would say that an era will end. Maybe not a dynasty, but an era will end when either Belichick or Brady retire. Will the dynasty end? Well, it all depends on how you define dynasty. You know, there was a gap there even in their championship run of several years. It's very hard to say, but I think you could honestly say that when both those gentlemen retire, I'm betting right now that they may retire on the same day or the same week.
Yeah,
I find it hard to imagine Coach Belichick coaching another quarterback other than Tom Brady, even though I must say one of the great underrated seasons in team history was the Matt Castle season in 2008 when, you know, he led them to 11 wins and the most wins for a non-playoff team. But, you know, who knows how long it will be. I mean, Brady has stated publicly that he hopes to play at least another 3 years. And I wouldn't put it past him.
You wrote this book along with Glenn Stout, and I also want to mention the essays. You have some amazing essayists in here as well.
Yeah, we had a fun time getting essayists to write for us. We went to Lee Montville, longtime Globe and Sports Illustrated writer, who wrote a wonderfully, well, it's sort of a poignant piece, I think. It's both entertaining, but it's also poignant about former Patriots coach Cleve Rush, who was a very troubled individual. Lee, of course, was threatened by him. So, you know, that's sort of the humor in it, that, you know, he kept, you know, threatening him with very high-powered attorneys. Of course, nothing ever came to pass. We have a nice essay that George Plimpton wrote a few years back for a Patriots yearbook, and the Patriots were gracious enough to let us use that, about how he sort of adopted the Patriots as his team late in life. Of course, we think of him with the Lions, of course. Our friend Howard Bryant from ESPN wrote about being a fan, which, you know, we all are. I don't apologize for being a fan. But, of course, when I put the blinders on here to work on this book, I'm a historian first and a fan maybe third. But he wrote a really nice piece. We have peaches from Ron Borges, Leslie Visser, Upton Bell, the GM of the team. Might be my favorite essay, The Night the Carburetors Died, which was talking about the traffic, which is still a huge factor in going to Patriots home games, the traffic jam on the opening night in 1971, where some people basically almost spent the night in their cars trying to get out of that stadium. It took them long enough to get there. Some folks didn't get to the game until halftime,
yeah.
Were furious, and then must have lost their minds in trying to get out of the place, where, you know, just getting to the main highway probably took about 2 hours. So it's one of those things where every Patriots fan has a traffic story, and Upton's is a pretty good one.
My favorite story is I was walking from, this was after the building of Patriots Place, the big mall complex that's outside of the stadium, and one of the fans going in said, "No, the team didn't move to Hartford. We just park there now."
That's good. I like that. Yeah, I mean, you know, the fact is that I was asked one time what the difference was between the Red Sox and the Patriots. Of course, the Patriots having achieved all this great success. I said, yes, on the field, but the Patriots still play in Foxborough. So for anyone living, you know, close to Boston, you really have to plan your trip to a Pats game. My own preference is to take the train, is to drive to Dedham and then hop on the Patriots train and head back on the train. Because driving there, unless you are a season ticket holder with privileges, you know, meaning you get to go out a certain route, it is a it's a long day. Let me put it that way. a long day.
What a
maybe
blood
the
sport.
Longest day.
Well, Richard Johnson is the co-author of the new book, The Pats, an illustrated history of the New England Patriots. He is the author of The New England Patriots Yesterday and Today, and is also the curator of the Sports Museum of New England. You and Glenn are both going to be at the Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, on Friday at 6 o'clock, November 30th, 6 o'clock, northshirebooks.com, northshire.com. And so the two of you will be together.
I can't wait. It should be fun.
Excellent. Talking about the book and signing as well. The name of the new book is The Pats, an illustrated history of the New England Patriots, published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Richard, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Glenn Stout and Richard Johnson are the authors of The Pats, an illustrated history of the New England Patriots. They are both going to be at Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, on Friday, November 30th at 6 p.m. You can find out more by going to northshire.com. Northshire.com. Both Richard and Glenn at Northshire Bookstore, November 30th at 6 o'clock for reading and signing. The book is The Pats, an illustrated history of the New England Patriots. It's published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.